I'd like to call this meeting of the Genoa Township Zoning Commission to order. The time is 7 p.m. date March 11th, 2019. We have one item for a public hearing on the agenda. That's Mr. James Hassey's follow-up on his approval to amendment of his final development plan. Joe, can you take roll?
Roll call. Ms. Faulkner?
Here.
Mr. Leff?
Here.
Mr. Antonet?
Here.
Ms. Patrick?
Here.
Mr. Preeby?
Here.
First item is review and approval of minutes from the last two meetings. There was only three members at the last meeting, so we tabled approval of the meeting minutes from January 14th, 2019. I don't know if you all have had a chance to review those minutes. If you have, there's no questions, concerns. Do I have a motion to approve?
Chair, I move to approve the January 14th, 2019 minutes as presented.
Second.
Mr. Chair, I'll second that motion.
Roll call, Joe.
Ms. Faulkner?
Yes.
Mr. Leff?
Yes.
Ms. Patrick?
Yes.
Mr. Preeby?
Yes.
Mr. Antonet?
Abstain. Next item on the agenda is the minutes from the February 11th, 2019 meeting. I think there was only three of us here, but we could still vote and approve them. I have a motion for approval, or if there's any changes. Dave and Tara, we're the only ones here. Any of any changes or revisions?
No, that was good.
Do you have a motion?
Move to approve the February 11th, 2019 meeting minutes as presented.
Second.
A second.
Joe.
Ms. Faulkner?
Abstain.
Mr. Leff?
Yes.
Ms. Pastorek?
Yes.
Mr. Preeby?
Abstain.
Mr. Antonet?
Yes. Okay, this opens this session, this portion of the meeting, this public hearing. The time is 7:04-ish. I'll read for the record. James M. Hassey requesting approval of an amendment to a final development plan to make alterations to the site at 6391 Maxtown Road, Westerville, Ohio, 43082. Currently zoned planned commercial and office district, PCD, ZC case number 2018-07. This is continued from January 14th, 2019 meeting. At this time, I'd ask anybody who plans, anticipates, any comments, questions, to please stand and take an oath. You swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I do.
Thank you. Do I need to read this legal notice for this?
No.
Yeah.
Although we did, I'll just note, we did send out duly new advertisements published on February 26, 2019, and we posted it here at the hall on February 21st, 2019.
Okay, Joe, you want to give us a staff report?
Yeah, first I'll just mention on the exhibit list, Exhibit F is now the staff technical review dated March 4th, 2019 for this evening, March 11th, 2019. Exhibit G will now be staff memo dated March 4th, 2019 for March 11th, 2019. Exhibit H will be all public comments received between August 13th, 2018 and March 11th, 2019. Exhibit J is the applicant's presentation, and Exhibit K will be revised text and plans received February 19, 2019. All of the other exhibits will remain or will be updated to reflect their most current iterations. So with my staff report, I'm going to keep it pretty brief. I know you had a pretty extensive discussion about this project at the January 14th meeting when I wasn't here. I appreciate my staff stepping in for me. So we did receive revised materials. They're dated February 19th, 2019. So I'll just hit the highlights here in this memorandum. I'm not going to go back through, but for anyone in the audience or listening who's not familiar, this is the Superior Asphalt Site, 6391 Maxtown Road. It's a few lots east of like where the J Company is located, and about one or so parcel over from where Harris Automotive recently built their new site on Maxtown Road. So regards to the changes, One thing I did note, in the previous iteration of the application, there had been discussion about not paving some of the proposed parking spaces at the rear of the site. The latest iteration that we received, I didn't recall seeing anything in that, so I'm assuming that that interest is no longer there. However, the applicant could bring it back up this evening if they so choose. There was a divergence added, which is probably the most significant item of note in the entire presentation. So the request is a divergence to section 1204.01 of the zoning resolution, which requires all business activity to occur indoors. The applicant is asking the township to permit the use of two outdoor tanks, one for sealant and one for water. The tanks are used to store and pump contained materials slash water in and out of work vehicles, and the applicant has provided their justification, their reasons and their justification for why they believe this divergence should be granted in the development materials submitted on February 19, 2019. In regards to a lot of the other commentaries throughout the staff comments and 3B, you'll see there I basically have just updated all those comments to reflect the dates of the new materials. On item D3, that statement now reads that the current use occurring on the property is permitted by the zoning resolution, which is the, and I'm sorry, I'll backtrack. Item D in staff comments is, in reviewing this application, the Zoning Commission will need to determine. And you've seen a lot of those items before. I just made some edits to match the current materials. One of them, item three, had a significant revision being if the current use occurring on the property is permitted by the zoning resolution, specifically the commission comfortable granting divergence to allow some business activity to occur outdoors. So again, the determination the commission will have to make tonight is how you feel about that divergence I just noted. That's really the major changes in the memorandum in regards to the technical review. I'm just going to go through, look through here real quick. We've noted the divergence, as I've already mentioned. A lot of these comments remain unchanged. There's still some cleanup in the text I think staff would prefer to see. That is something, I think a lot of that cleanup, if there's an agreement on the proposal tonight, could be handled as part of a post-approval type of process, if the commission was so inclined to go down that path. There were a few new comments, 20, 21, and 22, under the development review, so I'm on page 5 of 7 of the tech review. Comment 20, I should say, is the one about the parking spaces, which I already mentioned, and not paving them. Comment 21 is revise the plan drawings to illustrate the material storage tanks. And comment 22 is just some really technical typographical errors that don't even bear worth mentioning. We note the divergence requested under the divergence review. And then I've updated the Zoning Commission history to reflect the continuations that have occurred. And then I did note in the comment 2 of the Zoning Commission review that on the January 14th meeting, Mr. Leff had some questions about the stormwater plan and what reportable quantity to the EPA is in case of spill. At that time, the applicant responded that they did not have a plan and did not now know what the reportable quantity was. I couldn't tell by the February 19, 2019 materials if there was really an answer to that issue or not, so I just noted it in the comments just to remind the commission that that discussion did take place. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I will turn it back over to you.
Okay, thank you, Joe. Applicant?
Thank you.
Give your name and address.
Yes, Laura Comack, 501 South High Street. And with me,
Darren Carson. 6391 Maxtown Road, Westerville, Huntington.
All right, thank you. I want to thank you for the continuance and the time to pull a couple of your specific questions together regarding some regulations. All right, since last we met, I was charged with identifying a few items and clarifying. In terms of spaces, we're seeking 3 additional spaces, so 4 for parking of the business vehicles. We are seeking 2 spaces, an area to park 2 trailers for the business facility tucked in to the west side of the existing garage and behind all of the proposed existing evergreen trees. I was going to walk through them and then come back and discuss them, but just the bullet points that we talked about last time. So it's a total of 4 spaces, so it's adding 3. The area for the business trailers to be completely screened on the east side from the garage and on the west side by the proposed evergreens. The issue of paving, I'm sorry, I disagree with the staff. The request to, we have committed to the paving if it's required. We are asking for common sense to prevail and to not add pervious pavement to an area where we heard the gentleman speak next door, where he already has existing water issues. It's such a small site. To add it doesn't make a lot of sense. And so that is still, if you're willing to entertain that. Now, the issue, before I get to the regulatory things, the final issue with regard to the text and the plan and the uses is the issue of the tanks and how they were classified. For purposes of the record, we disagree and object to the staff report pages 4 and 5, where there's a discussion about the use of the tanks as not being incidental to the primary use. When we reviewed your code, remember we had an initial discussion about it last time, business activity is not defined. The idea as between accessory use and accessory storage and all of those kinds of things are not specifically clear. We consulted with staff, and they suggested that we just get a divergence and quit fighting about it. So I'm willing to do that for purposes of your consideration. Willing to work through your steps for that. It's hard to know what to do. We just don't want to fight about it. It's the use that we're here for. If it doesn't work for our site, then we're going somewhere else, and there's no hiding around it and no fighting about it. Whatever vehicle makes sense or mechanism makes sense for you to approve it, we're okay making a showing on any of those standards. There's no point in fighting about it. If you don't get an opinion from the county prosecutor or you don't make a determination, it's all by the wayside. So that's why we've asked for the divergence from the definition of all business activity taking place entirely within a building. Happy to elaborate on it if you want, right? The final thing that I want to spend the most time on, at least on my part, if you ask more questions, we'll answer, of course. There were a significant number of questions asked and posed by Mr. Leff about the regulatory reporting requirements, the spill reporting requirements, and what are we regulated by. So we spent 6-7 weeks navigating the various levels of regulation in the government. So we started with the health department and the fire chief. The health department has nothing to do with it. The fire chief has 2 layers. In addition to the prior letter that he wrote, he does not believe that the fire department has, I would call it primary jurisdiction. There's a couple of thresholds. So I'm going to hand these out. We have some best management practices handbook. So if we're following along, we went to the Department of Health. We went to the fire chief. The fire chief and your fire marshal, Tony Cato, sent us to the state fire marshal's office. That letter from Ms. French is in your packet. So we also obtained the material specification data sheet. It tells you what all the materials are and how it's classified. Those are here too. I'm going to hand them out in a second. Within those materials, we submitted those to the fire chief, the state fire marshal's office, and then the local EMA, so your local emergency management office through Delaware County, who is a local designee for the Ohio EPA on these kinds of matters. The material specification sheet indicates we have 0 flashpoint. Flashpoint means flammable. So because it is not flammable, it's exempt from state fire marshal regulations. So then the next step was at the, back to the local fire chief, and then they suggested that we go to the emergency management office for technical items, right? That's what I'm talking about. So number one, there's reporting, and number two, any other standards for best management. There aren't any standards for best management. Those would have come from the State Fire Marshal's Office. With regard to storage tanks and other things, they're not qualified. The emergency management folks, it's a gentleman named Sean Miller here in Delaware County. First, he told me what all I should have in this best management practice handbook. It does double duty as complying with your local fire chief. What it does, I'm going to hand you each copy. It's, sorry, the table of contents just because I'm a geek, but we have spill procedures. And we decide, right, because it's hazardous if you were to consume it, but the fact of the matter is it's actually put on the ground and used on the ground, and it withstands water and it's water soluble. So, it's a non-significant hazardous material, I think is what they call it. So, we developed some practices in the event that a spill would occur of a size that we could not either use on site or easily contain. There's also a draft incident data sheet that we would use to take note of the date and the time and who was there, did we take photos and how did we manage it, did we call people right on time, so we've got that. We have the contact information, we have the Genoa Township letter, because there's also a letter in the packet from Tony Cato, who's your fire marshal, that we comply with the specifications for your local fire department, and then if you approve this, he'll come out and tell us where we need to put warning signs that look kind of like this. Also in the packet is the material specification sheet, and that is on file with your fire department and with your local EMA. And then there's a list of people that if we did have a really big spill and weren't able to contain it, the contractors on a statewide level that you can, and there are several local ones that we can call to come in and do that. We'll talk through that in a minute. And then there's some state EPA information. And then just the site plan so that if anyone was to ask about it. So the goal is to have our folks trained on this and to have this information available for distribution. Okay, two other kind of things that you probably want to know about. So we are underneath the threshold for reporting requirements. How do I know that? In processing the information from Darren and the manufacturer when they ship it to us, we did an estimated calculation on the volume of material. The state regulations have a formula for your material, the percentage of your petroleum, the density, how much you've got on it, and when you put that into a formula, how much in pounds you have of, and this is a petroleum-based substance, right? So 10,000 pounds is the threshold for the reporting. And we don't think that we keep 10,000 pounds by using the calculation. Based on the volumes that we receive, the volume of our tank is large enough to handle it, but the transportation tanks are based on their calculation, what we would hold, and then what goes into our trucks, we aren't sitting on that threshold pound amount. So it's kind of interesting. So these are mostly complete. We're going to add that calculation to the back of this, but this was enough to cover the bases. I'd like to hand them to you. So I've got one for each of you, and then if you want to give them back to me, it'd be great. We'll use them some more, and we'll get one submitted to Joe for the file. So, interesting to be exempt from a number of those criteria, those standards. So I think that we've chased down a number of those details, but happy to answer any questions that you've got. We still plan to do the fence. We still plan to do the evergreen plantings. The issue about pavement is interesting because Mr. Hesse and Darren had committed to that on the front end, but adding additional pervious pavement for the water to flow off, it just seemed like an additional issue for our neighbor, which we did not want to cause. Oh, one other thing, Ms. Faulkner, got your question from Joe after we submitted. We are willing to commit to a 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Time for the tanks, whether that's the larger transport, the delivery to us, or whether that's from our tank to our trucks. So that makes good sense. And we can usually control a lot of that.
Yeah, and I think my comment to you was targeted more toward the morning time, where you could come back after a long day, still have your daylight, do your refilling at night, kind of closing out the day while you still had daylight, but not waking people up when you want to get going and you want those trucks out there, you know, at 6:30 in the morning because you got daylight in the summer. So
yes.
The objective wasn't to necessarily stop you from getting the trucks out early in the morning. It was to suggest that maybe what you do is you do that refilling and pumping at night when you come back, when it's summertime and people are still out and the noise wouldn't be the same as the early morning start. So, I mean, you can offer up whatever confined space you want, but it seemed to me that the better option was to finish the day's work with refilling rather than normally you come in the morning and refill in the morning, and that would start the whole, hey, it's daylight, I want to get out there at 6:30, you know, I've got something to do. So you guys could decide what you want to do about that, but that was my only consideration was the running of that generator.
And there's 29 a.m.
22 horsepower, yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's what's generating your noise, that and truck idling, right? So I mean, to the extent you're cutting all that down, I think that's responsive to what the neighbor has asked for.
Did you consider going to an electric pump versus the engine?
It works off, no.
No.
Okay. Talk a little bit more about that threshold that you mentioned. So the tanks have capacity to exceed the threshold, I think I heard, right?
Correct.
So it's almost like you're self-reporting what your volumes are, or how is that measured, reported, regulated, et cetera? Because right away I'm hearing, okay, yeah, we're under the threshold, but we have capacity for this.
I understand.
Which, you know, right, so why, and I'm sure the reason we have X tank size is what the market availability is, because when I hear capacity, I'm like, whoa, you know, so.
So what's interesting is the manufacturer, you buy the tank from the manufacturer, and then the manufacturer then delivers the product to you. And as we mentioned, there's no pre-mix. It's all pre-done. It just gets put in. So we don't manufacture or process anything, so it comes. The tank itself is large enough. It's 5,000 gallons. I got that right? 5,000 gallons. The trucks that come and deliver it to us are 4,500 gallons. So as a practical matter, we're not, even with the completely full, we aren't at the 5,000 gallons. Assume, for purposes of the calculation, though, that it's completely full. And so they come and they fill us up. We have four tanks, 500, 500, and 1,000.
Mobile tanks.
Correct. So from the 4,500 that they can deliver to us, right, it then gets immediately distributed to our trucks. So the tank is underneath the 4,000. It's 4,000 is the trip point. Not to get too complicated on the math, but I was working through this with the gentleman from EMA. 4,000 gallons of the material on the percentage of petroleum and the density and weight, that's how they calculate the pounds. 4,000 gallons equals 10,398 pounds. So if we are consistently under the 4,000, then that's how we're exempt. We are consistently under the 4,000 pounds, or 4,000 gallons.
I think that's your representation to those folks, right? So you answered this question about how are you managing inside that space, but whether you fall above or below that is going to be a matter for you guys with your reporting to the agencies.
Yeah. Interesting that we're close, but not that close. So, and what we talked about was that one of the additional items that we would put in the back of here is like last year's calculation. So this is the original for Darren, right? For him keeping track of the business. And so each year as the fire department comes out and, you know, looks at your tanks and gives you the stickers that are actually yellow that say hazard, they tell you where they want them placed according to the fire marshal. And so it makes sense that every year we just do a quick calculation. Since Darren knows that how many times a year do the tanks, they come three times, and assume that you distribute
three
that. Right, 3 to 4 times. So they come between 12 and 16 times a year. We can calculate those volumes based on our trucks, what we buy in total, and then how many we send. So it's a pretty good faith estimate of our numbers.
Appreciate that. That helps. I'm trying to visualize it.
Understood, yeah.
And obviously, it's prudent not to keep more than the material you need on demand just in time. time, so to speak.
Yeah, right? So, isn't that interesting?
Yeah. Yeah,
and don't forget, May through October, maybe April if we get a warm season, but that's, you know, so within that time frame is how it gets used. I was just allocating over 12 months for an average, you know, to think about how many times per year we would have the noise. But in practical, it's much shorter than that, so the turnover quicker.
Okay. If the chair doesn't mind, I was just going to mention one thing.
Sure.
On the pavement, staff isn't necessarily opposed to it. Principal, one of my concerns early on was if that was going to be a divergence request. To me, there were more important issues we had to hash out on this site, and I was concerned that there was a possibility that we could get sort of bogged down with a divergence request on something I wasn't really sure was 100% necessary. However, if the commission's comfortable with it, I'm not going to lose any sleep at night that it's not paved. I would ask that if it is something the commission's comfortable with and does vote on the application this evening, it be approved via the divergence process. So that would be section 1903.03, which says all required parking spaces, including driveways and other circulation areas, except for single-family dwellings in the rural residential district and other specified uses, shall be hard surface with asphaltic concrete or Portland cement concrete pavement. So again, procedural matter that way, in case we have anyone else in the future who tries to put down a gravel parking lot or something similar, and then they point to this site and ask how they were able to do it, I'll tell them, because they went through the proper channels and had a divergence granted for it. So that's really my only note on that item.
Yeah, I think there's no question that gravel's not paving, but I am sort of convinced that I could live with that divergence because we're specifying how many vehicles and how many trailers will be parked on the site at any given time. So even though it won't be delineated parking spaces, we've now limited the number of vehicles that will be in residence on the site. I think to the extent that that's present here, 4 business vehicles and 2 trailers, I can start to get my head around that. But yeah, technically paved means paved in the traditional sense. I think the code is unambiguous about that particular point, so. But I will defer to the other members of the board as to their feelings about paving versus not paving.
Yeah, I'm not concerned about it either, especially the fact that doesn't appear as though visitors would be using those parking spaces. You'd have to be worried about ADA, ADS, ADA is provided.
Yeah, that's all the front.
Adequately in the front.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure we're all on the same page. We're still asking for more parking permanently overnight. What are we asking? We're going from 1 to 4?
1 to 4, so 3 new.
Yes.
And the 2 trailers.
And 2 trailers.
Right. 2 trailers.
Which are attachments, but potentially equipment stored out of doors, which becomes the issue in the code, right? So equipment, all that stuff is supposed to be stored indoors. These trailers would be equipment stored outside, right? That's where they fall. They're not operating vehicles in and of themselves, so they're equipment stored outside.
Yeah, I think that's where the concern becomes of eventually uses like that could balloon into something that we really didn't intend for the site. However, there's nothing specific in the code that says, you know, thou shalt only have 3 or, you know, 1, 2, or 1, or whatever number you want to throw out there, vehicles of that type. I think it's just a general concern of, you know, especially in a commercial district, it should look a little bit more like a commercial district, a little less industrial to me. A lot of heavy equipment stored outside is industrial, but here I think we're talking about, you know, only, you know, 1 to 4. It doesn't seem...
I'm not even overly concerned about the quantity. I think if I understand it right, the intent is to provide screening.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if we can agree that there's adequate screening provided, especially adjacent to the residential parcels, mm-hmm. I'm not overly concerned about it being in an enclosed building. If you're not concerned about security, fact that it's not, but we can talk about that.
Yeah, so I think screening, right? So in the original plan, I think there was the commitment of 20 pine trees, if I'm correct in remembering, right? And then in this amendment, we're also proposing a fence, correct?
Well, the fence was already there. So the fence was always there, and it looks like there's some screening we're adding to the opposite side back where the trailers and trucks would be. But the fence was always part of the application.
Right.
It's a 6 foot
yeah,
wide
absolutely.
Fence. Right. This application.
Oh, yes. Correct.
Yeah.
I thought I heard the word existing, and I wanted to make sure that it's being opposed.
It was in your original
application
of this. So what I saw with the addition of the screening on the back side of the western side of that parking space, that's new to me.
Correct.
Unless I wasn't paying attention.
No, it okay. was last time too.
Yep. Oh, it was in there
it
last
just
time.
Didn't get there.
Okay. Oh, huh. That explains it.
Yeah.
So I think we decided that the vinyl fence would match the fence that's next to the tanks, that it would be the same type and size. It looks like Joe needs for us to say how tall those evergreens are going to be in rating. So
Joe, code standard minimum for installation?
I believe it is.
5.5 feet.
Yeah,
time of planting. So it's just a matter of adding that language. And
okay.
And Joe's right from my perspective, which is I'm fine to add it here under the promise we'll add it later.
Yes.
So that he can enforce without sending you back to write again. But I think he needs the words 5.5 to appear in there somewhere. Otherwise we get yelled at by Joe for not finishing his work. That sounds great.
And remind me, where are the trees going? Along the residential east side? Oh, along the edge of the park.
Correct, on the west. I zoomed in, so I don't know if that helps at all. Oh, you've got the full size, okay.
The residential already has the trees on the
yeah,
side.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The fence is what's going in to provide a
right.
permeable.
Yeah. Because they grew up real high, and there are some patches at like person level, so that's why the fence.
Mm-hmm. And I know the neighbor said, I don't need a fence, but if you ever want to sell your house, you might need a fence. So they're willing to put up a fence, go with a fence. The next owner might wish there were a fence there, so, you know, they want to put up a fence. I think fences are good. Fences make good neighbors sometimes.
So in this screening and the fence, I mean, because we're sensitive to what's occurring and what's being stored overnight, right? Is that fair to say? I wouldn't say sensitive, but obviously screen, we want to have some privacy for the residential areas to the north and east, right? And so we're so sensitive for screening because I think I noticed in some spots mention of a contractor's yard, right? And if we're not talking about paving, we're talking about stone, we're talking about trailers, we're talking about tanks, I'm struggling with that.
Tell me again where you're, the only thing that we are putting outside are the trucks, the tank, the tanks, on this area here. And then this is the area where we're proposing to put the trailers, which the garage, the existing garage, shields that area, and then the evergreens come up here, and these are pretty dense in here. So that's why. So this is the area for the two trailers, three additional vehicles, and then the tank areas with the water tank and then the material tank.
Okay.
So there's no stone or anything, what you were just mentioning. There's no contractor material outside.
No, that's not what referring to. I'm just saying, you know, the pavement. We're not going to do cement.
Gravel.
Yeah, gravel.
Oh, got it. I'm sorry.
So that's just a nomenclature thing. I apologize.
That's all right.
So, okay.
Do we have stormwater? Did you feel that stormwater was taken care of in the app or not?
I don't have anything on it. Honestly, something of this size, I'd be very surprised if the county would even take an interest in.
Okay.
I mean, just to be candid about it, usually, I mean, I've seen grading and pavement stuff. We've gotten questions about bigger than this, and the county said.
I don't know
off the top of my head, but I know I've seen stuff bigger than this, and they've sort of just...
Well, it's kind
of, Mr. Antonetti, you.
There's probably driveways that have more concrete than this. But if you go back in the pictures, it's going to be a substantial change up to now.
Yeah, which is unfortunate because, as we know, there is some type of chronic water issues, right, that we're trying to potentially mitigate, not increase, right?
So, yeah, I'm not opposed to this. Okay. Do you have anything else you want to add?
No, happy to answer any other questions.
Probably have more.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of places where Joe was really specific about his comments. We're talking about variances because that's a term of art that sits over in the Board of Zoning Resolution. He's sort of like, take that out of there. So there's a few of those bits and pieces that we'll need you to commit to sort of cleaning up at the end, like the
okay.
G, our G GTRZ versus the GTZR. Like, he's gone through and kind of spelled these out for you, but those are things that help him get where he needs to be, and that was all in his staff report.
Yes.
So we'll see the, as part of the, any action, any resolution, we're going to ask you to commit to making those minor typographical revisions necessary to keep Joe happy with us. And you. We addressed working hours. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I'm not ready.
You know,
more than happy to hear from you.
You can hold off for a minute?
Oh, yeah, I can.
Okay. At this time, we open up to public comment, questions, anybody, issues come up, please state your name and address for the record.
Hi, my name's Greg Downing. I live to the east side of the property at 6463 Maxtown Road. And I do have a couple questions. The attorney mentioned that water didn't seem to be an issue, but it is a big issue to me, because my yard right now looks like a lake. And one of the contributing causes of that is the driveway at that business. It slopes down in the middle where there's a drain, but obviously that drain is doesn't drain, and water comes over into my yard. And that's a big issue for me, because I do have a lot of water in the yard, which I didn't have there before all this happened around me. My water used to drain off. Another question I had was, for the mixing of the chemicals, what is the distance between the actual pumping it into the trucks to the property line? Wasn't that 50 feet or something?
I didn't know that there was a requirement.
Can you elaborate on that, Mr. Schaefer? How far from the property line?
Even though there was a divergence to not have a loading zone, I did see some language.
I can't say I'm... No. Way off the top of my head, I can think of a setback requirement for that activity.
Yeah, there isn't a setback requirement, but there is a measurement. On your blowout on there's a little measurement. If you go right to the edge of the pad out to the tree line, it looks like it would be 28 feet.
Correct. That's the width of that existing driveway.
Yeah. So my best guess is that's the distance from where the pump is, kind of on the end of the pad there, where we saw it, to the edge of the... The edge of the property line, the closest possible property line would be 28 feet.
And what's the zoning rule on that?
There is none.
Not specific to
doing a particular activity within a certain distance.
Okay.
There's all kinds of rules around buildings being a certain distance and a bunch of those sorts of things, but not about a particular activity or function happening at a particular place on the property.
Okay. Thank you.
Sorry?
Loading zone.
Yeah, 1905.
That's 19. Yeah.
Well, if you're going to treat that as a loading zone?
That's the question.
Yeah, that's loading. Yeah, that's where I saw this. So,
the site plan that already exists is approved for commercial use without a loading zone.
But if this is a loading zone...
You've changed it.
You've
changed the operation of the site, where now you are performing loading and unloading.
Actually, I'm performing it all the time. I could just do it here or here or here. It's loading.
So wait, you're saying all the time, so not an accessory to the business, but probably mission critical to the business? Doing all the time versus
sales.
But you
can say that about anything. I mean, honestly, is it mission critical for a lawyer to have paper in their office?
There is no distinction. The only reason I'm pointing that out.
There is a distinction. We had the distinction on the original divergence of the site to allow for one vehicle for an office complex. You're doing material change from what that was.
Okay.
I'm not sure that would change the status of the divergence, though, just so the commission's aware. Because they're not changing
the divergence
use.
Was the distance, wasn't it?
The divergence was to not do any off-street loading area. And generally,
right. They don't have a permanently
once they're amending the development plan, they're not proposing to amend that standard, so I don't think it would be proper for the commission to re-administer that standard just because it's a different applicant.
And the original application...
With the use of a slightly... It's still the same principal use, even though it's a different name on the side and they're engaging in a different activity. The general use is still the same, so I would caution the commission about going down and trying to reopen those.
In the original application, we waived the right to an off-street loading area.
Yes.
So now we can't apply the off-street loading area requirements. That, I
think,
is what you're saying.
They have
so it. We're not now prescribing a loading area, and we're not saying they're in violation of the loading area because there is no loading area.
We can't take things off the table they've already
taken. I think that's a point well taken. Yeah.
Because they're still proposing an office use. I think if this was a fundamentally different site with a different use as defined by the code, I think we could maybe possibly have that conversation, but even then I think it'd be sort of tricky because it's still tied to this development.
Right, and I'm not prepared to say one way or the other whether I agree this is an ancillary use, but what I will say is that something's happening outside, and you've addressed that issue, which is something is happening outside. You're seeking a divergence on doing something outside. And so then we don't have to get into whether or not this is an ancillary use that would otherwise be permitted, which I think is, for me, that is, I think, in the interest of everybody involved. But again, just one voice.
Okay. Any further public comment?
Do I have to raise my hand or anything?
Yes, you do.
You're sworn in. You have to say your name and address.
No, my name is...
Whatever's going to say, you want to strike it. Right. I'm really concerned. Okay, good.
I just want to say my name's James Hassey. I'm resident of 5724 Freeman Road. Both Darren and I happen to live on the same street. I had that zoning done about 10 years ago. And I thought our businesses pretty much ran the same. I had a remodeling company. We did roofing, siding, just home remodeling, rehab work. And, you know, my business was pretty much a seasonal business, pretty much like Darren's is. We provide a service. I know we're kind of going around with this tank that he has there, the product that he has in there. I mean, when I had my remodeling company, and we had shingles off to the side of the shed. We have other products that we sold. We always thought, and I thought myself, that, like again, I said, our business was somewhat similar. We provided a service. Even when I was operating there up for about 10 years, I tried to accommodate next door neighbor, I had Mr. Downing. I know we were cutting the grass, I think, too early in the morning, and he asked me to cease having this lawn work, you know, have our lawn service taken care of, which we did. And we try to be a good neighbor. I know Darren's trying to work with him. And I just think we're kind of, I guess you could look at different ways. Everyone has a job to do here, and it just seems like we're just on a either yes or no, the way you would want to vote on it. And I know he's been a resident for, I think, on Freeman for about 15 years, and that's all I had to say. I just wanted to express my feelings about it. And by the way, he definitely pays his rent on time, so I hate to lose a good tenant.
Everything counts. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hassey.
Well, you can be sworn in.
Maria Calderon,
4361. We need another mic because they listened to the recording.
Maria Calderon, 4361 Sunbury Road, Galena.
You swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and about the truth, help you.
I affirm. I'm a Quaker.
Great.
I thought I heard her saying, I'm sorry, I don't remember your name, but did you say the material is water soluble?
Correct. It actually goes on driveways, right? It's the black liquid that you put on the driveway to reseal it every year or two?
Yeah. So it is, so in other words, it will dissolve in water?
Yes, with enough water, yes.
Okay. And I'm not sure if I understood the, I think water is a big issue if there's a large runoff.
We're not saying that it's not, actually. We're saying that to the extent that we can reduce the amount that flows from our property to the neighbor, that's why we were proposing it.
So you would basically be willing to do some remediation in order to prevent water from flowing onto this gentleman's property?
So the answer is no. But what I mean by that is, if we pave if we pave more area on our property, water hits it and will go faster in that direction, right? Because the water actually flows in that direction. So Mr. Downing's point was, as the development has come all around him, the water that gets into his yard has increased. So the piece that we can do is that gray area, and the point would be that we're making is, if adding the impervious surface has the possibility of adding just more water to him, and we didn't want to do that.
Okay.
We definitely need
that. Thank you. I hope that answers your question.
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Sean?
You got any questions?
Are you closing the public hearing?
Yeah, are there any other issues? This closes this session, public comment. Jim, you hear me? Thank you.
No, I wouldn't say I have any more questions for the applicant, probably more for the board, right? Where we've got to decide, do we have enough tonight to vote? It sounds like some of the things, let's say if we vote either way, could be a condition to submit with Joe, so we need to decide major or minor, right? And decide on that, and then from there, make our decision. So the original application, again, page 2 of 7 in the staff memo, it looks like 6 divergences were issued. And so we're kind of looking at a few additional here tonight. What I'm now hearing is 3, right, Joe?
No, I believe there's 2. The one that's documented, and if the commission's inclined,
regarding
the pavement.
Okay, so 2. So now we would look at cumulative, treating this applicant differently, but the site already has 6. We're looking at another 2, that's 8. I found it interesting when we go back at the historical information that, you know, we permitted a divergence. At that time, our code, a commercial office district, the minimum requirement was 5 acres. We did diverge down to 1.32 acres. And I think with that, I'm seeing a lot of content about surrounding properties and what's occurring. I'm also very sensitive to what's occurring both east of the property and north. And at that point in time, the pursuit of the business, sales administrative, I'm struggling with that right now, categorically, to all of you. Like, got a business to run. So sales administrative, I'm not sure that when we did that change of permitted use, right, in February of 17, how we're here now, it took some process. So we have some tanks, right? Look and feel. I guess, Joe, I would ask you real quick, do you know of any other business pursuits in Genoa Township that have tanks that are of a similar nature? We don't have any other asphalt companies, do we? I don't know of, but...
Not at the top of my head, but I know this is not the only commercial tank that we have.
Right. What do you mean by that?
I believe at least one, if not more, businesses on Frost Road have tanks that they use for...
Right.
I think,
could be gasoline.
I don't,
Mr. Deem, at the end of Frost,
the trucking company.
The trunky company has one, so it's not unheard of. I mean, if this was an industrial district, it would probably even be a different conversation almost altogether. I think the unique thing here is it's commercial. Now, I will say that the sales office use, that's one of those approved, that's already established on this property, that's already been approved. In regards to the water, the existing driveway back to all those parking spaces in the garage, that's all built, done, approved. There's really no second bite at the apple on that kind of stuff. There was one other thing I was going to mention, I just lost it. But I think what we need to remember is, you know, we're dealing only with the changes here to the site. And to me, that's the addition of the parking, the placement of the outdoor tanks, the divergence for the outdoor activity, and then possibly the divergence for that small paved area. But I don't think we're here to rehash the fact that it's a commercial use. This is a commercial zoning district. You know, that's
right.
That's rezoning 10, 15 years down, down river.
Yeah, I'm just going into, what it's currently zoned, and then the pursued sales administrative, right?
Yeah, I mean, one of the things we as staff always talk to the applicants about when they come and meet with us is about, like, the spirit intent of the resolution. So we acknowledge, you know, sometimes it's you can't always meet it verbatim, but you can sometimes ask for divergences. And one of the things we always say is, you know, well, think about what the spirit intent of the resolution is. Try to do it. So in this outdoor activity thing, well, the spirit intent is so people can't see it and it doesn't negatively affect neighboring properties. So I think you can see they've made efforts to put fencing around the tanks, put fencing down next to that garage, put some evergreen screening in. So I think we see that they're making strides and, you know, honoring what I would consider the spirit and intent of what the resolution was trying to do for this property.
You know, Sean, from my standpoint, as we looked at this kind of the first hearing, the other alternative was the applicant could have come to us and said, I just want to consume this in the industrial district that exists to the west. I want to make this the next mm-hmm. industrial property, and I'm actually happier with them coming forward under their divergences and diverging on the outdoor activity, because it is, without a divergence, we'll set precedent in all of our commercial properties that what we've established here is a permissible outside use, and we're not reaching that decision here. But with a divergence, what we can say is we can leave this in a commercial district, which I think protects the residential house next to it more than allowing the property to be converted to industrial. So given a wide array of options the applicant could have had here, which was to come back and say, let's make it industrial and a lot of this goes away, they've stayed inside the confines of commercial with the couple of divergences that have been requested, and I feel like that's better for the residential property owner next door to be next to a commercial location than an industrial location in terms of property Absolutely. Value, in terms of livability, and other things. So when I look at that and I'm weighing that, I'm saying to myself, yeah, we've got a bunch of divergences on this really skinny piece of property in this really weird zone. But at the same time, I'm much happier with the zone commercial because it's much more restrictive as to what activity can happen next to a residential location. And I still like that buffer in between. So since that last meeting, I've been pretty happy with the direction we're moving, which is trying to find a happy medium. I'm actually really pleased by how well the neighbors get along. Even though sometimes it didn't look that way, they readily confess that they managed to work out most of their problems outside of this forum. So that seemed like a good outcome to me, rather than saying, no, we're not going to let any of this happen there, and then pushing us all the way over to a request for industrial, which, I mean, I don't know the answer to that because I haven't considered that question, but they are right next to an industrial property. So I like the buffer. I like that the next use of that property has to fall inside the confines of commercial as well, and doesn't get the free pass to do the heavy use an industrial site would take, potentially, where we wouldn't be able to moderate that. So that was sort of my thinking as you're kind of looking at this. I'm thinking about the compromises based on where that property is located. And were you at the last hearing when she took us on the tour
yes.
of Maxtown Road? So that yes. was, you know, that's in my mind was a good reminder about what else is happening yep. in proximity and what could be happening on that piece of property if it were rezoned. So
appreciate that.
Yeah, in regard to safety and hazard spills, I would venture to say those tanks in the industrial are probably hazardous.
Could be far more.
My guess is they contain harsher elements than water soluble sealant.
Tara?
Okay, so I think you have done a decent job at trying to mitigate some of the aesthetic issues with buffering. But let's talk about the odor issues, because that's something that you can't really fix with plantings. Now, I know that we talked at the last hearing about how you load the tanks. So the tanks are sealed and they're airtight, but when you load, it just loads from the top through an open hole. But I think that I remember, and correct me if I'm wrong, that you made a statement that you can load with a hose that is airtight. Is that a possibility? Am I remembering that incorrectly?
On the top, you asked, because there's a, I'm going to call it a fitting, right? A fitting.
And,
right.
No.
I think it's fitted here, right? And so, but not into the truck.
Okay.
That's unfortunate, because our code specifically spells out the emission of noxious odors.
But, how, you know, everything is a matter of degree. And so, 4 times a year, and then 4 times loading each of the trucks, 16 times a year.
Do you only load the trucks that go out 4 times a year?
4 times 4. So that's about it.
4 times a year times 4 trucks.
Right.
Right. So let's assume that at the moment that you're loading 4 trucks, that is whatever your emission is, right? One truck at a time. But
and you know, Darren, you have something to add.
We went around to the neighbors in the cul-de-sac right behind us, and we don't want to be there. People don't want us there. I've got a good name in Westerville. I want to keep it that way. Mm-hmm. And we've been around for 10 years, or 12, this will be our 12th year, actually. And so I sent my son, who works for me, and my office manager, on foot around, and within a half hour, they had 8 signatures just right around there. And I wrote on the top of it, said, this isn't word for word, but are we a nuisance? Have you smelled any material? You know, are we neighborly? And sign if we are, and 8 people, we didn't even know you're back there, you know, so we're not noisy. I can't smell it, but I've been around it for too long, so don't ask me. I mean, I'm sure.
My husband has the same issue. He used to work in like a manufacturing plant, and now his nose is completely gone. He can't smell anything that comes from
the garage. We put it on a driveway. We'll put a bucket down with brim, and you know, you'll have some people that can. Some people like it, some people hate it, but nobody's, they all stand right there, their eyes don't water, they don't run away, it's not like that. It's just, you know, it does have an odor, but it's not.
It's not
horrible, especially when it's coming out of a hole, like, I don't know, foot by foot, you know, that's what tank opens up, and that's where you put the hose in. So we close it back on in case there's a splatter, just keeps it all confined in one area.
You flush the, and you said you flush the hose to keep the product from congealing in it, so you're not leaving any product sitting in that hose that's drying in the air.
And so it's, you know, to answer your question, what an interesting comparison it is to have it put on people's driveways, right, and then have it sit there for a long period of time versus the time of transfer, I guess they call it.
Anything else? Dave?
Thank you for going through and having the long discussion with all the regulatory people.
Dave super geeked out about that. Such an what I was too.
Very happy that you went through and did that.
Oh, yeah.
I honestly, from the original part, I was a little concerned you didn't get all the way to the EPA people because you just went to the fire marshal. You're automatically going to get that because it's non-flammable. The issue is a 3 on the NFPA rating on a health hazard. So if you ingest it, that person is in a lot of hurt. Okay? If they get it on their skin without PPE, they're in a lot of hurt. That stuff is not good for you. Just so you know. Okay?
Agreed. That you should not
reportable quantity. It's a reportable quantity, so thank you for going back and doing that. And I'm glad you went through the calculation. That will be a good thing to have in the book. Joe, this really is a more question for you. On the technical review, there are a lot of comments that said it has not been addressed.
Yeah, I think there's
it
five.
Seems that there are a lot of those. We have a red line copy of submission. There is a lot of augmented text across this entire thing. Are we willing to move forward with this without a clean copy of a submission with all these things on it? Do we feel that we've captured everything at this point?
I think, you know, this is our fourth meeting on this now. If we're to the point where really, I mean, ideally we would have it all cleaned up for this meeting. We could vote on 100% clean copy. But I think, realistically speaking, we have in the past moved things forward with the list of conditions that, you know, okay, fix this. A lot of times I have a zoning permit to sort of serve as the carrot for that. We don't really have that in this instance, but there's always the, you know, violation route out there that, you know, hey, if you don't get your plans cleaned up, we don't have official plan of record, that's, you know, going to be a problem. You know, the commission could, you know, entertain setting a date if, you know, if the applicant was willing to agree to a date. Hey, yep, we'll submit this to Joe by whenever it seems reasonable to the commission. As long as they honor that, I'll work with them on cleaning that stuff up. I don't mind doing that. I think we're to that point where if we're really just talking about typographical errors in the text or, hey, we know you're doing this, but we need you to spell it out verbatim, and we need that 5.5 feet in there. As long as the applicant's willing to acknowledge that, yes, we will work with Joe to address items X, Y, and Z or the outstanding items on the record, the commission's comfortable with that, I'm comfortable with that.
Yeah.
Oh, and Mr. Muff, I did turn on I showed that just so you knew the changes, but we do have a clean one, so we don't have too many more changes to make. Point being, they'll definitely be clean. I just did it to show you how we addressed your questions last time.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Sandra?
I am good. I wanted to understand working hours and understand when the generator pump and the trucks were going to be moving around and everything to make sure that we had those inside the proper space. The applicant has made a representation, and I'm okay with it coming forward as a divergence, and then we just need to make a determination on major and minor, because it does simplify us trying to decide whether or not we're going to, at this time, define this activity, and we had quite a spirited discussion about it the last time, and I think this is the path to what the applicant needs, which is the most important path. So I'm comfortable with what's in the application pending cleanup for Joe so that he can have a final. But I think everything that was substantive in his commentary has been addressed on the record by the applicant and agreed to tonight, unless Joe tells me otherwise.
No, I agree.
Okay.
Great. The only issue I would like to close on, and may or may not require any action, is to address Mr. Downey's concern about the runoff and whether you can mound on along the edge of the driveway or something to defer your, if indeed you're getting runoff from your property onto his, is a problem regardless of whatever you're doing. So if you can either put a curb or a mound, I know there's not a lot of land left there, but even if you mound under the fence just to separate.
We can just raise it up, just
yeah.
Put some dirt down and seed it.
Yeah, some method that all right, that's perfect.
Yeah, try to get it to the street. Just try to get it to the street.
Yeah, channel it with that mound.
Granny's pointed out whatever granny did cooled in the driveway.
I'm not going to talk to my yard about that. It's going to be cheap. We'll get her done.
Maybe starting clearing out the drain and then moving to the other stuff. So something to channel it out to the street.
Yes.
So we can do that. So work with the neighbor to slightly mound, right? Because we're not looking to raise the fence. We're, you know,
right,
just
right.
To accommodate within the area between the paved driveway and the property line and trees, just for purposes of your condition, right? So between there and there for mounding.
We'll have language in here that you can follow and guide you.
Yes, can do.
Okay. Are you ready to move on?
Real quick, so 9 to 5 business hours, is that?
9 to 5 for the hours when we would be pouring.
Into the mobile tank trucks. Okay, 9 to 5 Monday through Friday, Monday through Saturday.
Are you sure you do want to extend that out on the back end?
So let's ask.
You don't tell yourself.
So,
to be neighborly, I can handle 11 a.m. to 7 a.m. Me and my guy are 8 a.m.
No. Think
I'm
about this.
Running.
Oh, from 11 a.m. when we transfer.
Yeah, but transfer
11
a.m.
till 7 p.m.?
Yeah.
Oh, p.m.
Yeah.
Did everybody hear the a.m. on
Yeah,
here?
We are.
Yes.
11 a.m. to 7 p.m., is that clear? Yeah.
I think that starts to address the issue of running motors and things at early hours.
We haven't had a problem. We did it once.
And I'm sure.
Now just
clearing up all the bits and pieces, then you can say...
That's just for the running of the pumping, right? I just want to make sure I'm 100% clear. That doesn't mean you can't be out there running the starting the trucks up to go out to a job at, you know, early in the morning, correct?
Right. He just doesn't want a lot of noise.
The generator.
The pump, okay.
Sorry, sir.
One of that.
And that is Monday through Friday, though, right? So that's, yes, the answer.
Okay.
Finish answering, yes.
Thank you.
Okay, so we have two divergences to review. Right, is that where we are?
Yes.
We're all in agreement on the
divergence or major minor?
Stone. No, we're going to
divergence. Divergence first. Sorry.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, who wants to offer up a review? Tara, like one.
We just address the two components sort of simultaneously.
Yeah, there's no reason why we can't do them both. Right?
Yeah, so after each of the comments, we just comment on how we feel about each of the pieces, and then we're
moving
on one time.
All right, so the things that we're looking at, number one, the conservation and protection of the natural resources, scenic areas, wildlife habitat, and historical and unique natural features of the land.
Okay. anything changing about what the property is being used for now for either of those?
Yeah.
There's not much scenic area or wildlife habitat on the premises unless some wildlife happens to run by.
I don't think either
There's
one
some
of
adjacent,
those.
But I think otherwise it's fine. Yep. Go ahead.
To the health, safety, morals, and general welfare of the present and future inhabitants of Genoa Township.
I think we've talked about this a bit. There's certainly something
yeah,
going
I
on
think
there,
the
but I'm not sure it raises the level of health, safety, morals, and general welfare.
I think the applicants provided ample information in regards to health and safety.
Okay. Yeah, I think their BMP addresses that nicely. Okay. Quality of life within Genoa Township through the protection of the total environment, the prevention of nuisances and hazards, and the provision of adequate light, air, and convenient access to property.
I think what's there has been mitigated.
Yeah.
Anybody else have anything to say about that? I still have a little bit of concern about the odor, but I mean, I think they've tried to mitigate it as much as they can. Fourth, the assurance of the compatibility of land uses which are either adjacent or in proximity to each other.
I think a number of the things in the application actually try to address that from the adjacency of the residential space.
Anybody else?
No.
Five, the orderly development of all lands within the township to its appropriate use.
I think that's fine.
Mm-hmm. And the most appropriate use of land to facilitate and provide adequate public and private improvements.
And to Joe's point, I'm not convinced we're changing the use.
Yeah.
So that's not relevant.
Okay. So that was, just for the record, section 120902L1
through
6.
I'm sorry, I did not
6.
Read
That's okay. And just again.
And that was with regard to the divergence from 120401, who did permit the use of tanks outdoors, and a divergence from section 190303 to permit the parking of business vehicles and trailers in a gravel area rather than a paved area designated for parking and storage.
And the standard is that the divergence needs to promote one or more of those
purposes.
Yep.
Okay.
I think
they
have
to
watch that. Sorry, guys.
Yeah.
Would you major or minor?
Yep.
All right.
That's where I was going. Before.
You
want to
do this one too?
Sure. Okay. So,
read that one more time. You have to read all of 12-16-02-03.
I do have it.
Okay.
All right. So, when we are reviewing determination of major or minor amendments, we look at 12-16.03. States, in the case of a request for a modification or amendment to the final development plan that represents a substantial departure from the intent of the original proposal, said modification or amendment shall be subject to the same procedure and conditions of approval as the original application. The following shall be considered substantial departures from the original application. A, a change in the use or character of the development.
So let's talk about them. So I think we don't have a change in use, although we had the change with outdoor activity and we've been asked to diverge it. That's okay.
Anybody disagree with that? No?
I disagree with that.
Okay. B, an increase in overall coverage of structures.
Not relevant.
Nope. Not relevant. C, an increase in the density.
Not relevant.
D, an increase in the problems of traffic circulation and public utilities.
Not relevant.
E, a reduction in approved open space.
Nope.
Not relevant. F, a reduction of off-street parking and loading space.
No.
G, a reduction in required pavement width.
No.
Or H, a reduction of the acreage in the planned development.
No.
I think it's pretty clearly a minor.
Correct.
Amendment.
Okay.
Do we vote on that?
Yep. I think we do vote on that.
Mr. Chairman, I move to declare the subject final development plan amendment application, James M. Hassey, ZC case number 2018-07, including all plans and materials, a minor amendment of the final development plan for section 12-16-03 of the Genoa Township Zoning Resolution, thus not requiring subsequent action by the Board of Trustees.
Second.
Second.
Joe, roll.
Ms. Faulkner?
Yes.
Mr. Leff?
Yes.
Ms. Pacioretty?
Yes.
Mr. Preeby?
Yes.
Mr. Antonetz?
Yes.
Okay, so we've got some possible motions to consider. A continuance, which I don't think we're heading that way. And then we've already concluded it's a minor. There's no further discussion, so I have a motion for approval.
Hold on, what are we making it subject to? Can we go through those one more time?
Are we going to label the seats all the way?
I'm sorry?
Can we label everything out first?
Yeah. We need to do that. Yeah. We can do that, or we can go and see how it works out.
We need to read the motion and then
you ready?
Add the...
I'm willing to make a run at it. You guys can correct me. How's that? On the fly.
Have
here
that,
we go.
Man.
Mr. Chairman, I move to recommend approval of the following to the Genoa Township.
Wrong one, sorry. 86.
I need the next one. Hold on a second.
Minor approval.
I'm getting there. All right. Now I lost my other page. I need my references. Okay. Mr. Chairman, I move to approve the following subject, final development plan amendment application, including all plans and materials submitted by James M. Hassey to allow loading of business trucks outside of a structure at 3 parking spaces, park 3 additional vehicles overnight, maintain 2 trailers on the property, plant additional trees, and install a 6-foot vinyl fence on approximately 1.32 acres of property located at 6391 Maxtown Road, parcel number 317-341-050-01000. Currently zoned Planned Commercial Office District, PCD, ZC case number 2018-07, incorporating exhibits A through K, and any commitments made by the applicant during this hearing, including all open comments and issues from the technical review of the Genoa Township Zoning Resolution, Zoning Department, updated on Monday, March 4th, 2019. And specifically including, but not limited to, the identification as proposed evergreens at the 5.5-foot level at the time of planting, and correction to various and other provisions as set forth in that memorandum. I further move to approve divergences from the following sections of the Genoa Township Zoning Resolution. The divergence from section 120401 to permit the use of tanks, one sealant material, one water, outdoors in accordance with the proposed amended site plan, and the divergence from section 190303 to permit the parking of business vehicles and trailers in a gravel area rather than a paved area as designated on the site plan.
Okay, the only thing I would add is the attempt to resolve the drainage issue. Residential. Okay. Anything else?
Ms. Faulkner, do you wish to make that part of your motion?
Oh, of course. I couldn't say it better than that. Applicant to further discuss with the neighbor possible opportunities for mitigation of the water moving from the applicant's property to the neighbor's property.
Thank you. Do we need to go through the motion of finding of facts to close this out?
Ms. Faulkner didn't include in her motion, so at this point, I think you'd be looking just for a second on the motion as made.
Okay. Do I have a second?
Second.
Chair roll.
We'll call Ms. Faulkner.
Yes.
Mr. Leff.
Yes.
Ms. Pacioretty.
Yes.
Mr. Preeby.
No.
Mr. Antonetz.
Yes. That closes this portion of tonight's meeting. We'll take a 5-10 minute recess. Thanks.
8:16.
Okay. Time is 8:18. Call this meeting of the Genoa Township Zoning Commission back to order. Other business. Joe, you might want to touch a little bit. I think we're probably still not ready to go into depth since we only had three of us here at the last meeting on the...
Correct. Yeah, so actually, all I was going to say is that you all have the document that I drafted a couple months ago. I've even actually started to tweak it a little bit since the draft you got, but all I was going to say is, given that I'm going to be out for a few weeks and I think we're going to have a big slug of applications in April, I still think it's really important that we talk about this, but I don't plan
There's
on...
There's no action to be taken.
Yeah, I don't plan on moving forward with this immediately unless the commission wanted to dive into it, but I think it would probably just make more sense until I'm back from leave, and then we'll see where we're at with all of those applications, and you know, if we have to schedule some special meetings, obviously we'll schedule some special meetings, but... That was really all I was going to say. I think it might just behoove us all. It'll give you more time to look it over, and it'll give me a little time to get through my transition and get back up and running.
My only concern would be is if we're going to be evaluating applications, then we all need to become really studious and aware of all the changes that the trustees made. So don't dismiss the effort that needs to be put into understanding these changes, although we don't have to do any official action. It's been adopted.
And as long as I'm around, I'm happy to sit down and meet with each of you on an individual basis to talk about, do any questions, since it's just all conceptual at this point.
I had a chance to listen to audio last month's meeting since I was absent. And really, how we got here is from our engagement with Peter Briggs, right?
Yes.
And that kind of goes back to, I think there was some information provided to us back in April of 17, right?
Correct, yes.
So that's really kind of like, that was the infancy of here it is, like, you know, in terms of some of the things that we need to react to. Obviously, some of that was signage, which we know that we addressed. And then there was other things, ag, marijuana, et cetera, right? Because one of the things I know someone recently contacted me questioning, are you guys digging into density again? I'm like, no, that we already had that discussion. This is a lot of other things.
Yes.
That I wouldn't say are less valuable, just as valuable, but things that we need to kind of tidy up, right?
Correct. Yeah, I mean, it started with the Griggs assessment, as you noted. I really wanted to try to just stick to the stuff Peter provided, but as I was going through the resolution, there's so many other things on staff's punch list. And while I do think I'll probably be back in front of you again, even if we get this hashed out, to talk about future amendments that I think need to be done, I felt like this was a good opportunity to hit some of this stuff that hopefully won't be so controversial that I can just say, hey, this is a documented issue, or this is stuff, something staff's really struggling with, or this is just something that doesn't make sense, or is wrong, or is a typographical error, or there's consistency issues. Try to fix as many of those things as possible. I mean, I fully acknowledge we may go through this and say, well, you know, we're not ready to touch that, or yeah, that's an important issue, but we don't think the way you've drafted it is, you know, maybe 100% the track we want to go. Maybe we'll put that on the back burner for a future amendment. But we'll keep it on our to-do list. So that's really was my approach, is I'm just trying to get this thing, A, to address the legal stuff Peter brought up, address some of the recent issues we've had brought up, not related to Peter Griggs, but just stuff that has popped up, and just try to get it just clean up. I mean, I don't want to say it's a bad resolution, but there's a lot, as you can tell by the red line, there's just a lot of stuff that needs corrected, tightened up, modernized, made consistent, or is just not working that I feel like we need to...
Put this on that list.
Yes, see,
is
that's...
This exact
I don't think
issue.
I have that in there, but
this
that's...
Exact
that's
issue.
Exactly.
I want that clarified, so...
You're talking about tonight's issue.
I'm talking about, yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So actually, you know what? I may have actually touched on that.
Do you think you caught it?
Possibly. I can't remember because I did so much.
But
if I didn't, certainly, you know, if you've got ideas about how you want to talk about that, that's...
I just think we want to clarify.
You're the taste tester.
So that's all I had to say about the amendment. I figured you'd all be okay with that. But I just wanted to throw it out here. I think that's the best path forward. We don't want to delay it any more than we have to, but... There's a lot to digest there, and I think it just makes more sense for me to come back, and then we'll...
I do think ahead. You could get an easy-peasy amendment out of this. A bunch of things that get through on the first pass, scrape all those off, dump those into a single amendment, and go forward with that and get that clear, and then we'll pick up the rest.
And
I've used whatever litmus test you thought was right, but I think more than a few minutes discussion, and it's shelved, and then that way you get a bunch of things taken care of that you need to get taken care of that otherwise get bogged down in some
heinous thing that we're going to wander around on for 3 weeks.
Which is one of the reasons I didn't want to stick with like the density conversation, because I knew that whole PRD conversation was going to be so big and so passionate about those specific issues, I didn't want to tie all that up with it.
We can probably quickly agree on the definition of a massage therapist.
Yeah, no, you know what? The bottom, you know, we're glad to see it here, right? We're getting traction.
We at least have something on paper that we can talk about.
And like what everyone else is saying is that if we can get that clean slate for you, right, as much as possible in terms of new business, right, we have new things pop up with applications, whatever that we need to table for an additional revision, bam, we can jump on it. So it's just going to take a lot of work. We got a lot ahead of us.
So that's a good segue, because speaking of a lot of work, your April agenda is busier than we have traditionally seen in the last three, in my time here. So you have four applications, the continued hearing for Bright Path, the rezoning on Chandler Court, Hawk's Nest at Hoover rezoning, the final development plans for Vinmar 4, 5, and 6, and Genoa Baptist final development plan amendment to change their master plan, and now they're going to build a big sanctuary. So I just throw that out to you just for discussion point. Is the commission comfortable trying to tackle all four of those in one night, or do you think maybe it's something you want to entertain a special meeting for? Honestly, I did sort of, I think, forget to look at the dates the hall's available, but I might be able to pull it up on...
What you're suggesting is that each one of those applications... Sean, let me make sure I understand. Two and two is an hour and a half per application. That's what you're prepared to commit in this month of April?
I don't know.
I don't know what your job's doing in the month of April. But
Wait a minute. First of all, you've got to be fair to the applicant. They can't submit an application and we not hear it for 3 months because we don't want to sit here for 3 hours.
What I'm saying is how much time we give each applicant is a structure of... I mean, there have been months when people could have come by themselves. The question is, will we do 4 in 3 hours or will we schedule a special meeting to stretch it out? I'm not a big fan of the see how long we can keep the audience here before people just fall down approach to zoning. So not to mention, I don't do my best work after 10 p.m. anyway. So either we owe it to hear them as quickly as possible. I wouldn't put anyone off. I'd do all four and say 3 hours across the four of you, expecting most of them expect to be continued because they will have more business for us to do than one meeting, even if they were on their own. And just set the expectation right out of the gate, which is we're going to do 4 in 3 hours.
Yeah, I'm not. I agree.
It gives you a chance to make
if
a presentation.
If the applicant meets their responsibility to get on the agenda and be heard, then we're going to be here. If we have to be here later in the evening, and Sandro have to suck it up.
Hey, it's not me. Yeah, it's the rest of the public. And I get paid to come to these meetings.
Yeah, we staff was finding their way. I just wanted to make sure the commission was in general consensus, even though I think technically the chair has the final authority on that matter.
Chair does, as long as the chair can be here to, you know, enforce it.
Well, I appreciate you reminding us and setting a kind of time quotient expectation.
Okay, so we will go ahead and tell everyone, yep, April 8th is your date. Just be aware it's going to be a long one, probably.
And just be aware you're going to have a limited amount of time to make your presentation, and you probably won't get much board discussion because we'll be moving to the next application.
And assuming I'm not here, I will probably give my staff directive to maybe make a very short staff presentation, if not just say, please see the memo. So just because that memo gets entered to the record. The fact that I say it on the audio is just merely for the fact that people listening at home who don't have that document can know what was on that piece of paper, but they always can do a public records request.
And don't forget the most important part, which requires us all to read that memo before we arrive here, if you're not going to do a line-by-line staff memo presentation. So that does shift the burden a bit there, I think, in general.
What are the four applications again?
First is the continued hearing for Bright Path, the daycare. The second is Hawk's Nest at Hoover, the old Otterbein Horse property, which you're going to be doing the site walk for a week from today. Vinmar 4, 5, and 6 final development plans. So you've already seen that development. It's basically now just coming back with all the details. And then Genoa Baptist final development plan amendment because they want to build a new sanctuary space. So one of them you've seen during the most of you, not all of you, were here during Vinmar 4, 5, and 6, or were you? Were you all here? Yeah. I'm sorry. Time's escaping me. So you've all seen that.
And in my mind, quite legitimately, you could let the applicants know if they don't want to be heard on April the 8th in that grouping at their election. They could choose to be first on the agenda in the May meeting.
Yes. I will let them know.
That, you know, then you can reserve your spot to be first.
So far,
guarantee that there won't be four more hearings that night. Yeah. Right? So
I will let them know. I did mention to each of them as they came. Each one of them did talk to me before they applied, and I told them things were looking very stacked for April. But they all said, "Nope, that's fine. We want to submit in April." So
okay. They're
aware, but I'll run it by them anyway, just to say, "Hey, here's the deal. They decide to hear everyone on one night. Just know." You want to change, you can change, or ask for a continuance, and I don't think they'll look down upon you for that. But speaking of May, I've already probably got two possibly lined up for the May meeting, and that's not counting anyone who gets continued, plus possibly another site walk. So, and it's only March 11th.
Season, baby.
I don't know. I don't know what's gotten in the water around here, but not just your applications,
yeah. But.
BZA had four of them last month.
Really,
it was technically three, and one of them was split into two different variants.
I'm telling you, it's springtime. It's
and
in the air. People want to build stuff.
I went months without doing like a lot split or a CAD subdivision. I now have got like three or four in the last month or two. So I don't know what the calendar turned 2019, and I don't know what's going on in the financial world or something, but it's...
Speaking of which, at the April meeting, are we expecting to have two alternates in residence again?
That is the hope. I know they're doing interviews this week. I think they're hoping to, at their mid-March meeting, which is the 21st, I think, possibly make those appointments.
It would be great for those folks to see this process happen, because we rarely have a lot of these all at once for people to get on board
yes. And
see how it works. It would be...
And you've got really, a variety, too.
It would be really great to have people at least able to watch and start picking it up. At the beginning of those hearings.
Yeah, I think
they want to stay on.
Right. I think the board
it's hard
has...
to participate later if you get called up if you haven't heard the initial offerings on everything but BrightPath. So
yeah. The trustees have, I think, two meetings this week, in fact, to deal with that very subject.
No.
So I think they were going to bookend it probably Thursday night, so I'd imagine there will be traction thereafter.
I think the hope is that they can maybe make decisions at
the
mid-March meeting.
So that kind of leads me into kind of to all of you real quick, this might be my opportunity to publicly sitting on the commission. So I am part of that process, right? My seat's coming up, and I'm looking forward to having engagement with the trustees later this week. So I'm hopeful for reappointment. But if in fact I'm not, right, I do want to thank all of you.
I don't think you're getting paroled.
Well, nevertheless, so, you know, I've gotten to sit with Mark and Sandra for a little bit longer than David and Tara, but I enjoyed the engagement, and we've had some spirited debate, but good debate, right? And that was great in the sense whether we were in front of the trustees, whatever, had the benefit of working with Leo Wilhelm, Rick Riva, Connie, et cetera. So it's been a good run. So I'm hopeful, but there again, wanted to thank all of you. Either way, we'll see how it goes. I don't want to make any assumptions anyway. So we'll see how the chips lay. So thank you all.
Thanks.
I'm sure you all get the newsletter, but you probably see the police station is moving forward, and they're starting to clear the site.
Yeah, they're hacking down trees, and the building's still standing there for now. But
yeah, they were fortunate. They have to scrape off some dirt, and they needed a lot of dirt to put back on, but they think there's another road construction job being done on Polaris Parkway. And they had a lot of dirt to get rid of, and we had a site for them to put it on. So there was some talks there.
They need to hurry up and get the stumps down, though, because you know how people react when giant stumps are exposed in this township. People start flipping out about, and rightly so, about giant trees being shorn down, and it won't matter whether the tree was dead or that it's going to be smack dab in the middle of the police station. It's in everyone's interest to get the site completely cleared as quickly as possible because it just looks bad when you drive by it.
So they're getting down to sort of, I think, finalizing the final details in the design. They need to go through all the paperwork. I think they just signed off. You know, there's an asbestos abatement they have to do on the existing building, so I think they just signed off on that last week. So things are moving forward. My guess is you won't see actual construction of the new building happen until later in the summer. They still got to go through all the permitting and stuff, but since things are moving along there,
it seems almost impossible to me that there has not been anything happening on that site for 14 years. But the last time there was a summer party there, when the FW was actually rocking, they used to have summer parties there outside. You could get it for your graduation party, because we could hear the music from where we lived. And it seems hard to me to believe that property was sold and nothing has occurred on that corner, but just that building has rotten and fallen down for 14 years.
Wow.
It seems incredible. That's like my entire children's lifetimes.
Yeah. So anyway,
has
I just wanted to...
Anybody opposed anything?
Well, the police station's going there.
Right.
CVS.
Two CVS's.
Yes.
Two CVS's.
Yes. I was going to say,
two
was
different
that the CVS?
Two different
yes,
CVS.
Yes, for 14 proposed. Years.
Well, in 2004, I reason it was sold was there was a Walmart proposed there.
No kidding. Interesting.
Oh, yeah. 300,000 square feet of retail. Yeah, to go right on. Good. Well, with the 70 acres
Bravo
next to it.
On that one.
Yeah. That's what got the whole ball rolling.
Yeah.
So long ago. Yep. That's what brought me to zoning.
No kidding.
It put me in the audience.
Yeah.
So
that would.
Yeah.
And now we're free.
Well, no, but everybody ends up on zoning somehow accidentally in the audience. Most people start.
That is how most people did get appointed.
Yeah.
All right, we could probably have this discussion outside the meeting, but I do want to close with one item that you might have seen in the minutes last time, and I don't want this to get too far away from us. It gets back to Trustee Gephardt's twice expressed his... dissatisfaction with our performance without much more detail. It's been twice in two public meetings he's expressed his dissatisfaction. I had a brief phone conversation with Mr. Gephardt. He didn't state specifically what his concerns were, but offered to discuss it. We invited him to tonight's meeting, and
he had
originally accepted and then had a conflict. Let's try again in April. We'll put him first on the agenda, get him in and out. And then hopefully we can get some idea of what we might be doing wrong, because I don't know what it is.
Okay. I'll see if he's available April 8th.
All right. Great. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
Mr. Chair, I move to adjourn at 8:35 p.m.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.